You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
Hello, this is John Gibbons for the Anfield Wrap, introducing a special on our goalkeeper, Kevin Kelleher. We want to find out a little bit more about the keeper that we're all expecting to start the League Cup final on Sunday. So where else to go? But a plane over to Cork to visit his club and find out a little bit more about the boy. And he was a boy when he joined, when went right through the ages there. So we spoke to his manager, who went with him throughout the age groups, and one of his teammates as well. And also thanks a lot to Sean, the secretary of the club, who very kindly gave up his time to drive us around, but also to speak to us. And then after those gentlemen, you will hear about two people who work with him at Liverpool's academy. So you've got the manager, Neil Critchley, now manager of Blackpool, of course, but was the manager of the under-18s when Kevin was there, and also managed him in a famous FA Cup tie as well. And then after that, we've got Liam Coyle, who is now at Accrington Stanley, but was one of Kevin's teammates all through the ages at Liverpool after he joined as well. So thanks a lot to all five gentlemen who joined us to tell us a little bit more about Kevin. He's a quiet lad, but what we're hearing is he's got a bit of cheek about him as well. He's got a bit of fun in the dressing room. So it was really nice to find out a bit more about his personality, what made him tick, and also the reason he's got to where he is today. So thanks a lot to all the guys for giving up their time. Obviously for Josh and Fuad for coming over to Ireland with me as well. You'll hear me and Josh now doing these interviews. I hope you enjoy it, and I hope it helps get you in the mood for Sunday. He's as cool as a breeze.
And it's John Gibbons and Josh Sexton, and we're over in Cork, and we want to do a little bit of a special on the goalkeeper who we're all fairly sure is going to start the League Cup final, and that's Kevin Kelleher. And where else to find out a little bit more about him over in Cork than the club where he started out at, where at Ringmahon Rangers. And yeah, they've been fantastic with us. Thanks so much to them. They come picked us up from the airport, showed us around their fantastic complex, and now we're going to have a bit of a chat with some people who were with him and played with him. So gentlemen, if you can first of all introduce yourselves for us, please, if you don't mind.
Yeah, my name is Eddie Harrington. I was Kevin's manager from under 11 to under 17 here at Ringman.
My name is Quilta Hayes. I played with him from about under 6 to 7 till his very last game with the club.
Fantastic.
About 10 years plus, whatever it was.
Yeah, so all the way through together. And first of all, Eddie, for you then, having that team, you know, all together must have been a really nice experience, you know, to have all these boys to take him through. And I gather you've had a bit of success as well.
Yeah, I suppose when Quivine started with us, well, he started when he was six, but when I took over the team, we were under 11 first division, and we kind of had, I think Quivine would agree, we always had a kind of good connection with the team and the parents and stuff. It was kind of a good family, kind of a club anyway. But yeah, as Quivine was just saying there, on his last day down here, we won our first trophy, which was kind of ironic, really, that he got sent off with such a rapturous report, you know, but it was great that he could win his last trophy, or sorry, first trophy in his last day in the last minute with the club. It was nice, you know. I think, again, like that, you know, he played with some really good players on our team, and we were lucky that we had kind of Cork representatives on the team the whole bit through, and I think really, really good teammates. And I think more so that he used to enjoy himself just coming down here after, like, you know, after being in trials in England and going over to yourselves for extra training and stuff like that. We just come back and we'd have a bit of crack in training, to be honest with you, like, you know, that we'd that kind of a buzz, I think, with the team, like, you know.
So I mean, I gather he wasn't a goalkeeper the whole time, so what kind of player was he when he first arrived and when you first started working with him?
Like, Quivine was on the Cork team up to under 14 as a striker, so, like, you know, he was really, really good. He was well thought of, like, through the whole thing. It just all changed, I suppose, when he went in goal. It just took off completely. Like, you know, we never had him down as a keeper. He might go in goal for a crack in training and all, like, but, like, you know, we never had him as a keeper, like, such. But no, he was a really good striker. Calm, again, like, you know, just, I think it's well known now that, like, you know, he, as I say, he played for Cork, so he was a good striker, but it was just by chance, I suppose, he went in goal and it all changed, you know.
So you played with him as a striker then. What position were you? Were you sort of feeding him in those early years?
Yeah, I kind of would have played up front as well, so I didn't get as much game time over him. So, as soon as he went in goal, I'm like,
so you were made up when he went in goal.
Yeah. I was going in and giving him a nudge there. I was like, come on, you'll be class.
Yeah, I'm interested to know, because of that transition from striker to goalkeeper is obviously a big one, literally in terms of the pitch, but also in terms of stylistically. What was it you saw in Quaveen which made you think, oh, maybe he can be a goalkeeper rather than a striker?
To be honest, if it was ever up to me, probably he would never have went and go. I didn't see anything. But to be honest, look, I think it's a well-known story at this stage. I'm telling a few times that, like, when I was actually sat out there in my car in the car park of the club, and one night after training, Quaveen's father rang me. This was on the 14th. But October or something, because it was, I know it was before Christmas, but it was, he rang and just said that he heard our keeper, he just didn't want to play with our team anymore because he wanted to go back down to his younger group because they were younger than us. So his dad Ray rang and said, look, would you take a chance and put him in goal? But apparently he was actually doing a bit of work with the Cork team as well in goal, that I think the coach, Steve Berman up there at the time, saw something, that there was a bit more there, you know, and he'd be a well-known coach here in Cork as well, like, so... But I don't think Quaveen ever wanted to kind of push it because we had a keeper and it would upset the dressing room and so on and so forth. So, yeah, I suppose, to be honest, we had no choice. We were stuck for a keeper that Saturday or Sunday, whatever it was. So I said, yeah, look, we've got much to lose at this stage. We have no keepers. So we put him in goal. But I never would have thought it obviously would take off the way it has, you know. And he played his first game in goal that Sunday against Springfield here. We lost 1-0. He got lobbed, but there's a bit of a wind down here. Like, isn't there? But yeah, just that was it. Like, he never, obviously, as I say, look, I'm freaked myself, but we haven't looked back. And it's a crazy story, really, like that. That was only like 8 or 9 years ago, like, so. Yeah, that's where it all changed, I suppose, for him.
I'll ask you then, since you're the expert on the strikers at this club, what was he like as a striker? Because obviously he is quite the transition to going towards a goalkeeper. He's a very good one now, but I'm interested to know what he was like as a forward at the time.
Yeah, I remember actually one game we were playing against, I can't remember who it was anyway, but we were playing and he had long, really long blonde hair, like straight blonde hair, and like at that age, like everyone thought he was a girl. So he was running in and out of fellas there and banging in goals. You could hear a few fellas on the sideline, their late teens saying, "Ah, you're all getting skinned by a girl. You're all getting skinned by a girl."
He's going to be today, but you'll be here.
I think that's eventually why he cut the hair. Like, but yeah, he was mental out for you. Like, and like Eddie said there, just one day he just jumped in goal there for training. And he just started saying, "Oh, I'm Chesney now." And Chesney, he was at Arsenal at the time. So he just started calling him Ches, then Messing, like, and just couldn't score on him in training. Like, you're like, what's going on here? Like, yeah. And then he went in goal in the weekend. We were like, you know, striker now. And that's probably why they won 1-0 in the weekend.
was that annoying for you? Because, you know, them lads at your school who are like really good at everything. If you couldn't get him in the team over him as a striker, and then he moves into goalkeeper and he's good at that as well. Is that just annoying, or does that help?
I think we had a few fellas like that. They kind of could have played anywhere, but. Nah, it was kind of funny at the start, and then all of a sudden then it took off, and then I think later on that year we went over to Blackpool for a little tournament, and like we were playing against quality players over there, like, and some of them were like taller and better, and we were like, and he was still like on their level as a keeper, like, and he was just barely gone in there, and we're like, he actually is fairly good in goal, like, so I think it worked out good in the end for us.
So, you know, you've had the same team, you know, throughout there, Eddie. So obviously the team spirit, you know, must have been great. I know it's lads from all around the area, you know, people get on. So what was he like in terms of, you know, the group? Was he one of the quieter ones, or was he one of the ones taking the mic?
We always say this, like, that he comes across very quiet if he's around the kind of, you know, but obviously not anymore now, but around adults at that time, he wouldn't have been the loudest, you know, in the dressing room or anything like that. But out there training and stuff like that, he'd kill the lads with a one-liner, you know what I mean?
the second he gets comfortable with you, you're just ruined, like.
Yeah. Extremely witty, like, you know, it's kind of a Cork dry humour, like, you know, the usual thing, like, you know, you see it. But, yeah, it's just, he's that kind of a guy, like, but he's quiet, as I say, in general, like, obviously it comes across on TV like that, but behind closed doors, he's very, very funny as well, like, you know, fairly laid back, though. But I think, you know yourself, the family base, like, is very, very strong. They're a well-known family down here for sporting reasons and so on. And they're obviously he's got a really good strong base there, you know. So that's, I suppose, where he gets his humour and his wit and his, you know, just nice personality from, because he's a really nice guy as well, like, you know, not to forget it, like. But yeah, just in case he's listening. But no, they're a good family, and you know, he had a good start like that, you know, so it's nice, well supported.
So when is it you hear that a club like Liverpool are interested in him, or do you even hear that they suddenly sort of turn up and you think, yeah, he's not normally watching
this? Yeah, no, he was over and back in England a few times. He was over with Blackburn, I think, because started with Blackburn and stuff. But you see, like, there's a competition here in Cork called the Kennedy Cup. It's for the under-14s team that Cork go represent Cork, obviously, and all the counties are represented, and a lot of scouts go to this game. And Quivín was actually selected as the goalkeeper, which was amazing. Even to be selected as the Kennedy Cup keeper after half a season was off the wall in itself, you know, because it was a really good keeper there at the time as well. But yeah, I think that's where it all took off. Soon after, he was over in Blackburn. He went over to Aston Villa a lot, and then Liverpool came in a kind of odd change, really, I suppose. You know, he kept going over and back. We tried to get him a bit of extra training down here. Some of the lads were very good. Like, we had a keeper at Leeds a few years ago, Eric Grimes.
Yeah,
he was over with Leeds, and Eric would come home and do a bit of work here, and he was really good with him as well, in fairness. Like, you know, just come home and give him extra training sessions, because, to be honest, like, we wouldn't know much about teaching goalkeepers. Like, but yeah, but look, you could see the transition when he was coming back, like, you know, just the extra bit of confidence and stuff. And even when you see, you know, today, like, Quilty will tell you, like, he'd be way off his line, and we'd be thinking, Jesus, where's he going? Like, you know, but nah, he was well able, like, yeah.
So was he picking up a few chicks from Liverpool that we like, was he sweeper keeping and all that?
He's watching Neuer a bit too much, I think. There's things to give you a heart attack, like, when all of a sudden you think he's getting lobbed, and his big tall hands just stretch up and knock it over the bar. And like, how do you get to that?
So when, I mean, the clubs have been really successful at producing incredible talent.
Unbelievable,
and,
yeah.
And,
yeah.
You know, we took a walk up the stairs of the clubhouse, and the wall is filled literally with Ireland representatives and stuff like that. So you've obviously, you know, used to people being scouted by over in England. But when it's one of your team and he's at Liverpool, you know, I know what, you know, lads are like to give him a bit of ribbon and say, oh, you know, big time now over there and stuff like that.
Yeah, well, I suppose, look, just to touch on it, because it does go kind of under the radar a bit when, you know, you might get a, like, the club might ask me to do a phone call with a fellow, a journalist from England or something like that, and I always bring it up, but it does kind of feel sometimes ago unnoticed that they kind of forget to mention the academies down here, like, you know.
Yeah.
Like, we have coaches, I'm not involved at the moment, but I hope we get back soon, like Quilt is involved with teams there now. There's coaches down here 3-4 nights a week, like, and there's right behind you there now, there must be 30 kids playing, and you know, there's ladies involved and there's men, and the work they do is just incredible, like, and it's not, I suppose it's no surprise then when all these people put all the effort and time in that they get a few players, luckily enough, they get a few players over to England, or like Kyle Heffernan's going to AC Milan now. It's not happening kind of by luck, you know. There's an awful lot of work going on here with people who are just down here daily and nightly, and if you start trying to name them, no, you'd be here all day, like. But it's just, I think they kind of get forgotten about with all this kind of crack. Like, people ask me about Quivín all the time. I suppose I was just lucky that I had that team, to be honest with you, and we were lucky as a kind of a family kind of team, like, that we had good parents around us and good support. But the work has been done down here every day, like, and it's just, yeah, it's nice. Like, Alan Brown, you know, from Preston, oh, and Adam O'Reilly there in Preston, Cahill's gone over to him, and Eric Rains used to be Leeds, you know. It's just, these lads are getting the coaching from their barely walking dick, you know what I mean? They're down here 4 years of age, 3 years of age, and I'm just looking out the window now, seeing the kids running around, and it just reminds me of those days with the lads being so small, like, it was great, you know. And so, yeah, I suppose I've gone off of the subject a bit there now, like, but I just it's just important to remember that the volunteers down here, like, no one's getting paid, you know, it's just that kind of a family club, like, and yeah, it's great that they're having the success they're having now with players going over, like, you know.
Yeah, I was to say, the wall on the way up is full of lads who represented Ireland at different levels and stuff like that, and it's fantastic. But when it is your mate who goes over to sort of Liverpool, you know, you must be proud of him. It must be an incredible feeling. You know, you think, I was playing with him last Saturday, and now he's going over there.
Yeah, like, even when he was going over in trial, like, you wouldn't really think he was over in trial, because he come back and it was just the same kind of Quivín. Like, we weren't really as tuned into what was going on because we were still kind of young. Like, even then, when he eventually did sign, like, you know, we'd only be able to see him during the winter time when he got chance to come home or during the summer there. Like, I just remember one day we were just sitting in my house playing FIFA, like, and I was like, ah, who's the best player there over there? And I was just like, Felipe. I was like, who's Felipe? He's like, Coutinho. Like, I was like, oh, yeah.
The first thing.
Like, right, you're friends with him, I get it. But yeah, like, and then you see all the videos then when they're going on tour to America there, you know, and they're with the likes of Salah, Mane, and all the boys, like, and you're like, it's just amazing, like, seeing he's gone from training that little last year up there with us, like, twice a week to going playing all the boys in Liverpool, like, and playing Champions Leagues and Premier Leagues and all this stuff, and hopefully now in Wembley now in a couple of weeks or whenever it is.
Yeah, and we as Liverpool fans quite like to see when someone comes into the club and sort of gets the culture. I suppose I'm wondering if there was any conversations in the early days with yourself in particular as a friend where he, you know, was talking up Liverpool, was saying good things about what was going on over there when he was coming back to you guys.
Well, yeah, I think they kind of, I don't know what the main reason were, but I'd say the reason he chose Liverpool, I'd say, was because I'd say there's probably a lot of similarities. Liverpool's a big family kind of club. Like, you can see the fans get right behind it. And, like, if you come down here and watch any game on the weekend, there's always a massive crowd. Mm. Like, my under-17s team was playing in All-Ireland Axe 16 yesterday, and the crowd was unreal. Like, even fellas that might even know some of the players, like, everyone just comes down and supports every team. All the girls' teams now that are coming through, like, everyone's down supporting all them. From no matter what age you are up to the seniors, like, there's just always a big family spirit about it. Like, and you'll say any player that ever came to us from outside of Blackrock and Mahon, like, they always, second they came into Ringman, they never wanted to leave. Like, they just always felt like it was a family club. Yeah. And I think that's probably why he enjoyed Liverpool so much, kind of them same kind of traits and all that.
Yeah, and ask yourself this, he seems quite sort of quiet and unassuming, as we mentioned before, but he's definitely very confident as a goalkeeper on the pitch. And it sounds like from what you guys have been saying that he was confident in his play here as well. Was that something that he developed from early on in particular? Because he does have a bit of that sweeper keeper about him now.
Yeah, but definitely. I think that's a personality trait, yeah, as much as what his ability on the ball and stuff. I think he's just so cool. Like, I remember him from 10 years of age down here like that. Like, you know, he'd take that touch, like, he'd take an extra touch. He might slot away a finish that, like, he was ahead of his age, if you get me. Like, you know, kids, like, they might snatch at a ball or something. He was just really calm and cool on it. Like, you could play him anywhere. I remember one day we played him sweeper down here, sweeper, no, to centre-half, like. And, like, you know, he was just not a bother. We were just in, I must have been injured or something, injuries at the time or something. But, like, no problem to him, like, you know. But I think, just going back to it, I think it's a personality trait more than ability as such, but obviously it's ability, but it's just his personality, I think. Like, he's cool as a breeze, like, you know. And, like, I met him last summer, he was home there now for lunch and stuff, and it's just like, he's got a swagger, like, there's no madness there, like, I think Roy Keane said on the telly the other day, like, he's not giddy about it all, like, he's just, I think he believes he can do this, like, you know, there's no stress there. Like, there's no, I'd be like, with, like, Mr. Quilt was saying, like, you're sitting next to Liverpool players like Salah and these guys, like, but I think he's part of it. Like, he's not starstruck anymore or any of that carry on. Like, he just feels that he's well able, like, and he's gonna push on again, like, you know. So yeah, going back to, I suppose it's just his character, like, you know. You right. See, like, I know everyone says that he's really calm and cool on, yeah, the TV and stuff, but yeah, that's just him, I think, you know.
Yeah, and I want to ask about his physical stature, because obviously, yeah, compared to Alisson Becker, it's hard to look like you are sort of physically able for the, yeah, Premier League, but Quvin, yeah, will probably tower over me, but I'm interested to know what's, yeah, when his sort of physical stature started to grow and when there was maybe a point in your minds where you thought, you know, he could be a top-level goalkeeper.
Well, he'd be definitely towering over me, innit? But you know what? It was when he was back from trials, you'd see him commanding the area a lot more, you know, like, he wouldn't go for silly balls, but if a ball came over him, he was well able, like, he was always tall. But I think last summer there when he came back, I just thought, Jesus, the size of his shoulders, like, the size of his neck, you know. And I probably mightn't come across and tell you as much when you know when you're next to these monsters anyway, like, but he was just huge, like, you know, really, really stocky, like, and yeah, filling out something unreal, I'd say, like, yeah. So yeah.
So the League Cup final, Sunday, when we're sort of here now, it'll be a couple of days, you know, after this comes out. I don't know if you've got any plans yet to all kind of watch it together or get down the pub, but yeah, you know, it's going to be a big event for the club, I would assume.
Yeah, everyone's looking forward. So I think there's a couple of people going over. I know one of the big club men here, Paul Higgins, he's after getting a couple of tickets with a small fella. So, you know, it's nice that someone will be over there to see it anyway. Like, but yeah, it's just going to be really, I hope he's playing. Like, but yeah, I just, it's just going to be, amazing. Like, it's just ridiculously amazing for us, like, to see him walking out of Wembley in front of us, 90,000, I think. Yeah. That's just incredible for us and his ex-players. Like, you know, they should all be proud as well, like, that they played with him, and like, they all nurtured him through us as well, like, you know, because he as I say, like, he kind of had good times down here, and that kind of, that all nurtures you, I suppose. But yeah, just going back watching that until he's going to be off the wall. I thought it was like, we're kind of getting more used to it, but it's still just cup finals, Wembley, 90,000. It's going to be mad, and we can't wait. We'll all try and get together somewhere, like, but yeah, we're just really looking forward to it.
Yeah, I mean, Eddie mentioned the word proud there. Does it make you proud when you see, you know, how far he's come, and, you know, to walk out a final, like, you make your teammate, the lad you grew up with, doing that?
Yeah, especially, like, I mean, because I grew up with him, my brother's then a few years younger, and, like, my brother coming in, he's like, oh, Keller's playing for Liverpool. I was like, it's Quivine, boy, it's all right. You've got his first day, and, like, so, like, Chez, you see all, like, the kind of young kids now, and they're all like, wow, that's Quivine, yeah. Like, I remember even one day when he was came back for the summer, we were walking just over to Man Point from our house, and, like, all the young kids were like, oh, Quilda, tell the boys there who Quivine plays for, and he just turned around and said, ah, some shipping league team there in England. He just didn't care about it, like, just messing with the boys, like, but it's still amazing, like, you know, you see all the young kids' faces light up down here in the club, like, and then you're just there and you're thinking to yourself, like, I played with this fella for so long, like, it's like, could have been me, like, but
I think that's really the scary part as well for me, like you'd be in work and these grown men in their 50s, you know what I mean? And, like, I work with a lot of lads who are Liverpool fans, and they'd be all asking me about him, like, and it's like, you kind of, when you take a step back, you're like, Jesus, just know him as Quivine, like, yeah. You know, like the local lad, like, but yeah, I think there's so much interest in him now in Cork, like, it's lovely, obviously, it's great to see it, you know, but for us, he's just kind of normal fella, still down here, like, you know, but yeah, I think it's unbelievable, it's brilliant, so we're really excited for him now.
He says a lot of interest in Cork, and presumably that's the case within the club now. I know it's both sides of the water. We're not the only people who've been onto you for the chat, so we really appreciate your time. But, you know, when the young lads come, or the young girls come, and they come here, do you sense a little more sort of spring in the step and think, well, that could be me, you never know?
Oh, absolutely. But I think, it's happened well before Quivine as well, like with Eric and Alan Brown and stuff like that, you know, the club is getting really recognised, as you said. We've had a lot of internationals, like three of Quivine's teammates represented Ireland under 18 there now, Troy, Kieran and Jordan, so, you know, and one of them captain Ireland, so, like, you know, there's we're always in the papers, I suppose, and we're always kind of, you know, attracting interest because people see the club is really going in great places, like, you know.
Sharp was your secretary Ring Man Rangers.
So, obviously, with the success of Kelleher over in Liverpool, what kind of impact does that have on the club?
It's massive. It's massive for the whole area. It's massive for Cork soccer. It's massive for the community. It's just, when you're playing for one of the biggest teams in the world, it's every kid's dream, really. Like, and kids come down here and it's synonymous, no Ring Man Rangers with Quivine Keller now at the moment, so, like, just smiley faces every weekend down here, really, you know? And the cup final coming up now is even better again.
Yeah, we've come down today, and thanks so much, Sean, for looking after us. I really appreciate it. And, you know, we're up here in the clubhouse looking over, and there's a few kids in Liverpool shirts and things like that. Have you noticed one or two more coming to training in the Liverpool trackies?
Yeah, it's constant. We've our academy now is just bouncing every week. There's just more and more parents coming down with kids. Like, we're starting now, I think our youngest team is under fours at the moment, and we've like 150 to 200 of them kids up to under tens, and then, like, we've all our other teams up, like, but it's just constant, like, Quivine played here, is this the dressing room he was in, is this the goal he stood in, you know? So it's been rags to riches stuff. It's brilliant.
I mean, there's only so many who can go on to do what Quivine's done. For the majority who come down here, it's about enjoyment, it's about physical exercise and things like that. Presumably, he was the same when he first sort of come, really. I'm sure he had aspirations to be a footballer, but I'm sure he came down because he loved it. He loved playing with his mates and the success that they had together.
That's all. It's just a social interaction for the kids. It's just fun, like, you know. It's like he came down as a little, small, blandy little young fella, as a striker. Long blonde hair, and he just progressed up from that. Like, if I say if he wasn't a goal for Liverpool, he'd be up front for Liverpool. That's the type of player he was, you know. It's just the people banging in 20, 30 goals a season, and just look at him now, like, you know, best team in the world he's playing with. We can't go on.
And obviously, with the League Cup final coming up, that's going to be one of the biggest moments in Quivine's career so far. But I just want to go back to when he first broke into Liverpool squad and how proud that made yourself personally, but also everyone at Ringman.
Yeah, it was unbelievable. As far as I can remember, I think it was the MK Dons game, I think, in the, was it League Cup or FA Cup game? Yeah. And I'd say my phone that night was just non-stop hopping, and you had pictures and people were on Twitter and Facebook and on Instagram, and it's just spiraling. It's massive. Like, it's huge for a club like Ussels. We're a small little club in an area. Like, we've like 400 or 500 members. All the kids, you can see them out there at the moment, and it's just massive. And just a local lad down the road, you know, playing for Liverpool. What can you say really about it, you know?
Yeah, and we've come here today, and we're massively impressed by the facilities. But I presume you've got big dreams for things in future, and I suppose you hope that, you know, Kelleher and other people like him getting moves to big clubs will be able to help you facilitate those sorts of things.
Yeah, massive. Look, every penny helps in a club like this, like, because you're, like, there's no money in clubs here. Like, you just have your weekly dues and your lotto, like, you know. But we're in the process now of building a 9-a-side Astro and the land at the back, which would do, like, for training for adult teams, because we have a small side of Astro there. So every little helps, really, you know. So if he did get a move in the morning, I'd say we'd have it's massive. Jeez, it's unbelievable just to think of it. Like, you know, you could make it up. Everyone, like, people, I'd be talking to friends and work now, like, and everyone's asking all the time about it. Like, oh, smile in your face. Like he played the game, and this Chelsea game on the Sunday that day. Like, I was at work on the Monday. I was like, I was at the win of the lotto. It's just a smile on my face at work, you know. It's great to see.
For kids like that, when you see they've got something special, is there something that separates them from the other lads? Because there's so many talented footballers, I'm sure, who come down. I mean, you just have to look out the window and see the talents is here. But those who make it, and, you know, it's not just been him, there's been others, obviously, who've gone on to do really well, professional careers. But is there something that separates those from the other talented lads or girls?
Yeah. You'd spot it. Like, you'd be down here. Like, you'd spot someone that's a standout figure. Like, because Queevin's brother was here with us before Fiacre, like, and you could spot him at the time. Like, I remember his first game for the club, it was under sixes, like, and you could spot straight away there was just something there, like, you know. And especially with Queevin, like, because when he was playing, he was just spotted as a striker, 20-30 goals a season. And next thing, that was the famous year then when he went in goal. But even straight away, you could spot, like, there's a diamond here, you know, with this fella in goal. Like, and sure, I think it was a couple of years later, there was clubs from England onto us, and he made the move to Liverpool after his last game with the club. Then they won the league the last game of the season, and I think he flew off a few days later off to Liverpool, and look at him now.
Does he still come back when he's sort of in the area? Will he come down and cheer them on?
Oh, he would, yeah. He's always down here, yeah. It's just, and then he's down here. All former players that we've had over in England come down here. Like, they just walk in the gate. There's no airs or graces about it. Then they just walk in the gate. They just salute you. You know, he's just one of the lads. That's the way he is. That's where he was brought up. He's just one of the lads from down the road playing for Liverpool. What did you get like?
And you mentioned what your phone was like after the MK Dons game, which was his debut. This game in the League Cup, which the club have already confirmed that he's going to start, must just be absolutely massive for you. You must be beaming with pride to think that he's going to be able to walk out Wembley in front of 80,000 people.
Exactly. Walk out Wembley, you see it. Like, we had one player that was over there years ago, Alan Bromer Preston, and he was in the Championship playoffs. I know we've Queevy, you know, in Liverpool, like, going out to Wembley, like, what is it, 80,000-90,000 seater stadium. He's the main man in goal, like, so I think there's a few of the lads going over to the game, like, but everyone's phone, like, I'll have to turn my phone off that day, and I'd say, but afterwards it'll be good to see.
Yeah, I mean, it's going to be a special day for the club, for the area, and, of course, for, you know, everyone who supports them that little bit on the way. And, you know, there'd be a lot of people who'd be very proud, of course, who think, well, I maybe helped him a little bit. And, you know, it's going to be a big day for the whole area, isn't it? A few pints and cheering him on.
Yeah, a few pints with cheering him on. We watch it up the local pub, I'd say, and fellas at home, there's a few lads going over, so you'll have a few more Queevy Keller goalkeepers down here now, because everyone now wants to play a goal down there. That's the problem. We have 11 goalkeepers and around 2 strikers at the moment. The team.
Just tell them all, you used to be a striker.
That's all it is. Like, no one wants to play outfield anymore. Everyone wants to be in goal. It's usually like before, like, no one wanted to be in goal. Now everyone wants to be in goal.
It's a huge game, isn't it, this final? We're all expecting him to play. From what we've seen of him so far and what people have told us here, you know, it won't necessarily faze him. You know, I'm sure there'll be some nerves because it's a huge game, but, you know, we played against Chelsea and played like it was a game down here on the grass. You know, are you expecting him, you know, whatever happens, to be fully confident that he can win a trophy and make a difference, maybe in Liverpool, maybe in another shootout?
Another shootout, please God, yeah. Like, you see, like, even just his demeanour in the game, you see that the game against Ajax, like, there's no, he just, just strolls out casually, like, and the ball gets passed back to him. Like, there's no looking around. He's just casually just passes the ball out. He's just so calm on the ball as well, you know. I think he knows it himself. He's always been like that. He's just a calm boy all the time, like, you know.
And we continue our journey, finding out a little bit more about Kevin Kelleher and how he got to the point he is now, which is looking like he's going to start a League Cup final for Liverpool. And someone who very much helped him along the way and worked with him at Liverpool's academy is Blackpool manager Neil Critchley. Neil, thanks so much for coming on and joining us today.
No problem. So good to speak to you again.
So the obvious first question is, when you remember first coming across him as a young lad over from Ireland, have you got any sort of early memories of seeing him in goal?
My first memory of him was actually not seeing him in goal. I was taking the 18s. We were playing Derby away, and the 16s were playing on an adjacent pitch, but it was sort of out of sight. And I knew Quiveen was playing for the 16s, and it was Phil Roscoe who he'd watch some of the under 16s, and then he'd walk up to watch the under 18s. And I remember it was the second half, and obviously when Phil came over, I remember saying, like, how are the 16s getting on? And he mentioned the score, but then he said, but the goalkeeper, Quiveen, he's doing well. He just saved the penalty, ironically. And yeah, he's gone on to make a few penalty saves since. So that always stuck in my head, that story. It's not even seen him play, really, but he sort of made an impression from his first sort of foray in the goal. And he wasn't even in my team. That's what I remember of Quiveen. Yeah, that's what, mad, really. Crazy.
Yeah, I don't know. Penalty saves is now he's famous for. So when did you get hold of him? Was it when he then moved up to your under 18s team from that?
Yeah, he did. Again, obviously, because he came and, you know, the goalkeeping department was healthy in terms of numbers at the time. So he didn't initially get in to the 18s. I mean, he was obviously slightly older. He came to us late. But there was just something about him, the way he carried himself. You saw the potential that he had. But he was a little bit raw as well. But again, I have to, you know, give great credit and praise to Taff and to Mark Morris and the work they did. He did with him in the initial stages, helping him to settle. Phil Roscoe, again, brilliant, with his family, with his mum and his sister. He just had a lovely way about him. And say he didn't play every week in the under-18s, not all the time. We sort of moved him around. Again, that was with John Achterberg as well, making sure that all the goalkeepers got opportunity to play. So it was sort of a steady progression for Quiveen, really. Not something where he burst on the scene and, you know, exploded. It was more of a steady incline for him.
And you mentioned about the way he carried himself in those early days there, Neil. What was he like as a personality at the time? I suppose it's tough coming over from the sort of setup he was into to a big club like Liverpool in particular.
Yeah, he was very quiet, unassuming, humble, but had an inner steeliness to his character. Was very brave on the pitch, unflappable. He just held himself in a very impressive way for a young person. He's very mature, very level-headed, and his work rate and his attitude to the training was exceptional. So we always thought that he would keep improving. Now, never, you know, your wildest dreams when you first put eyes on him, would you have expected him to be where he is now? But we always hoped that he would turn into a good goalkeeper because of his character. His character was outstanding. he's actually got a good sense of humour as well, which he doesn't show very often, but he's got a dry sense of humour. He's such a likeable boy. He's a really, really top kid.
And I want to ask about the attributes that you saw in his game in those early days as well, because it's obviously the famous story of him, you know, you previously being a striker and turning into a goalkeeper, and there's a bit of a sweeper keeper revolution in particular going on at Liverpool. Did he have those attributes from sort of young age?
Yeah, he was very good with his feet. He was. And again, because of his character, calm, unassuming, humble. You give him the ball, and obviously the way that Liverpool's youth teams and the way the 23s and the first team wanted to play, it is about controlling the game and building the play from the back. And Quivín was very good at that. His decision-making was very good. But again, he also had, which is obviously very crucial, an ability to keep the ball out of the back of the net. At times it was a bit unconventional. But he saved really well with his feet. A bit like, shouldn't use David De Gea, should I? But you know what I mean when I say saving with his feet. He had that. And he had a presence in the goal. He was very brave around the goal, very quick. He's very athletic. And maybe because he'd been a striker, he's very good at reading and anticipating where strikers are going to shoot. And he's already in the position to make the save. I think you see that when the penalties, he's very good at reading opposition strikers and opponents and where they're going to put the ball. And he's then got the speed and the athleticism to cover the ground and get there.
Liverpool have produced some fantastic footballers, and you've been involved in many of the new generation, but we haven't produced that many goalkeepers, and that's even going back to sort of, you know, the 60s and 70s of Shankly and Paisley. How hard is it for an elite football club to produce a goalkeeper, and therefore how much credit does Kelleher deserve for getting to where he has?
Yeah, he's defying, I suppose, the percentages, the laws of percentage that in football, it is very, very rare a club competing at the top like Liverpool to give an opportunity to a young goalkeeper. So again, you look at the work that's been put into him from Neil Edwards, Mark Morris, and then John Atterberg. And then obviously, you know, without Jürgen having belief in young players and having the courage to give him his opportunity, you know, Quivín, yes, he having the ability is one thing, but getting the opportunity is completely different. And, you know, we were so fortunate, and I'm blessed now to be away from that, but be able to look from afar and see the players still getting an opportunity. Jürgen is the best at that. He's incredible, absolutely incredible for giving young players belief and opportunity. And I suppose there's a little bit of luck. You could say it's partly luck, but it's not luck having Jürgen, because he's the best at doing that. If Jürgen wasn't there, would Quivín have got his chance? Maybe not at another club. So having the ability, one thing, but opportunity is everything. And at Liverpool, you get that opportunity.
One game in particular I wanted to ask you about was not a 18th game, but a first team game, which is the game that you, well, one game you managed for Liverpool in the FA Cup, and he plays in that game. What are your sorts of memories around that, especially in regards to, you know, having such a young team, but Kelleher in goal in that game? Was he one of your thought, well, he'll be all right? Was it a case of not knowing how any of them would do, really?
He had nothing to do on the night, so he's okay. you never worried about Quivín. Never. You just knew that he was, you could trust him. You could trust his character. So you never quite know how they're going to react in that type of atmosphere until given that opportunity. That's the beauty of young players. Sometimes you never know are they going to respond until they get that chance? But with Quiveen, as much as you're going to know about anybody, you could be quite sure about him that he was going to be fine. And again, on that night, he didn't have a great deal to do, but I do remember a save he made, and his distribution again, the ball comes back to him. He doesn't panic under pressure. He allows you to play out, and you know that's in front of the cop. And you're thinking, well, if he can do that at this age with his lack of experience, if he's given the opportunity, if he does play more games, which fortunately he's had, then you know his potential is huge. And where could he get to in the future?
And I just wonder if you remember any of those early conversations with Jurgen Klopp. You'd have still been at the club when Kelleher was starting to kick around the first team and particularly going training at Melwood and that kind of thing. And I wonder if you remember any of those early conversations and how highly he was regarded by the first team setup in particular.
He loved him. He loved him straight away. Because one, he loved his ability as a goalkeeper, but he was so impressed with him as a person. And that was something, again, that, you know, from Alex in the academy that was stressed to all the players, really. You know, you're not going up to the Melwood to be a tourist. You're going there to make an impression, but you've got to do it in a respectful way because, you know, it's like first impressions. The manager, the coaching staff, the senior players, they're all going to be looking at you, eyeing you up. Are you going to fit in? And Quiveen, because of his nature and his character, the players, the manager, the staff, they took to him straight away. And yeah, when he got up there, he very rarely came back there, and that was it, which was good for him.
And I just wonder how proud it makes you now, because obviously there's sort of, when you're at the academy, you're just trying to build, you know, future careers for footballers in a sense. But when they break through at Liverpool in particular and, you know, get to play in big games at Anfield, like you said, but get to play in finals and things of that nature, I wonder, you know, how much you reflect on that sort of positively, particularly in Kelleher's case.
Yeah, you do. You do, right? You know, obviously I'm from afar now, but what I try and watch all the games as much as I can still. You're a fan and you're sort of a proud parent, so to speak. You sit there a little bit nervously sometimes, you know. I remember the game, you know, Chelsea recently that he was playing, and he was outstanding. And, you know, when the ball goes back to him early on, you know, you have that little bit of nervousness yourself, that bit of anxiety, because you're so desperate for them to do well, because you know how much it means to them and their families and how hard they've worked for it. And you just so want them to go and show what they're capable of. And Quiveen settled down straight away in that game. And I say, given the experience, given the opportunity, he'll improve much more. And so, a small part of me has helped him maybe a little bit, but only, you know, a tiny, tiny percent. All the credit goes to him and his family, and for Jurgen for giving him that opportunity. I love seeing the young players play. It's absolutely massive. And there's no better club than Liverpool in giving young players an opportunity.
So to finish up then on this final, you know, Jurgen said, you know, he's his League Cup goalie, so he's probably the one we can almost be sure of is going to play, you know, touch wood, injuries aside and stuff. So when he is walking out of the tunnel at Wembley Way, you know, behind the captain, whether that's Jordan or whoever captain's on the day, and he's second there, and then, you know, he's out on the pitch throwing the ball out to Trent Alexander-Arnold, who's another player that you worked with, you know, it'll be a hugely proud moment, I'm sure, for you, and you, and just chuffed for them and him in particular.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, it is, in it, you know, it's hard not to be sort of, obviously they're there to do a job and you want them to do it, you know, very well. And, you know, of course, want them to win. Liverpool's about winning, and you know, it's a final, so I'll be desperate for them to win. I want them to play well. And there is times when you do reflect and you do remember certain situations and moments, and you cast your mind back. I think, oh, do you remember when he did this and he said this? And do you remember that game and that training session? And you do. And when you've shared some moments with those players, it's special. So the Carabao Cup final is another special moment in their journeys. And, you know, I can't wait to watch it.
Well, enjoy the game and enjoy the day. And yeah, take a little bit from it, mate, as well, because you deserve it for everything that you've done for him as well.
No problem. Thank you very much. Appreciate it.
And we thought it'd be great to finish up on one of his teammates from those early years and someone who came through the academy. And it is Liam Coyle. So, Liam, thanks so much for coming on.
Thanks for having me. Yeah.
So, in terms of your first memories of Kelleher when you sort of came across him, sort of how old would he have been then? Can you remember?
I think he would have been around 15. I think I was 14. I was the age group below him. I think Pep Linders was our manager at the time for the under-16, so that's the first time he come over, and like, I don't know if it was sort of a trial or whether we were going to sign him anyway sort of thing, but I remember the first time he come over, yeah, for like a week's training or something like that it was.
And how difficult is it, do you think, for lads, because who come over in those situations, because you were obviously at the club from a very young age, and in fact a lot of that group, you know, you sign as 9-year-olds or whatever it is, or some cases even younger, where they start going a little bit and then you just go through. So how hard can it be generally for someone who's, you know, from another country or another area, who's just sort of thrown in and expected to get on with it?
Oh yeah, I think it is really difficult. Like, you see some lads who are just like really confident and can like buzz off everyone straight away. Whereas I think like myself at that age, like if I had to move away from home at 14, 15, I think I would have really like struggled to settle in. I think even at my age now, like when you're moving clubs, it's a bit daunting sometimes for certain players. And yeah, especially at 14, 15, it must be really tough, like leaving the country, and you know, you can't just drive home, you've got to get a flight home, stuff like that. So I think it can be really difficult, yeah.
So with Kevin then, did you feel was the moment where he started to come out of himself a little bit more and, you know, feel a bit more part of the group?
Yeah, I think at first everyone was like, bloody hell, he's really quiet, this lad. Do you know what I mean? Like, we seen him in training and he was really good with his feet, made some great saves. And we think, oh, he's a boss keeper, but he's just dead quiet, even off the pitch. Like, wouldn't speak to anyone. I think he stayed in house parents with Conor Masterson. And Conor was like, yeah, he talks in the house, but he just to himself. He's not dead loud, but I think the season after he joined, he started to come out of his shell a bit more, and he was like giving people a bit of stick and a bit of banter, and you're thinking, what the hell, where's this come from? Like, this is like the him sort of thing. And he was really funny. Everyone was like, bloody hell, I can't believe how funny he is. Just because the first year he wouldn't speak at all, really. He was really quiet, yeah. But yeah, he was a good laugh, and I'm sure he is now with the lads, yeah.
I'm wondering, Liam, was there anything sort of said about him before he arrived at the club? I don't know what it's like sort of being in the dressing room when new signings come in, particularly at academy level, whether they're sort of talked about before they do.
No, I think at that age, no one really knows what's going on. You just sort of come turn up after school and it's like, oh, there's a new lad in. Like, wonder what position he is. Is he in my position? Wonder if he's any good. Is he crap? But we knew he'd been brought over from Ireland, so we thought he must be all right. And we had a few keepers around at the time anyway. And for them to bring him in, I think Pep Linders really liked him straight away. Could see how good he was on his feet, and you know, how enthusiastic Pep seems on the side. He was the same when we were under 16, so he was like raving about him straight away. So I think we sort of knew, like, oh, this lad's like he's staying for good, sort of thing, if he wants to be here, yeah.
And you mentioned him being good with his feet, and there's obviously certain attributes of his game now which are so clear. But was that the same thing from, you know, from the minute he arrived at Liverpool, was that he was good with his feet and, you know, making a save and stuff like that?
Yeah, definitely. I think everyone felt comfortable like passing the ball back to him. Sometimes at that age, you think, like, no disrespect to certain keepers, but you're worrying about playing the ball back to him. But with him, you'd be confident giving him the ball. And he was always so calm and composed, like you see now when he plays for the first team. Nothing seems to faze him. He's just all, he's very level-headed and seems like he knows what he's doing, very assured in what he's doing. So I think that's obviously a trait he's had throughout his, since I've known him, really, yeah.
You mentioned there, Liam, that there was quite a few keepers around at that time, and I remember there was a few, and they all felt like they had a chance of doing well and making it in the game, and a few of them are at sort of league clubs and playing now. Was there a time where it felt like Kevin had moved
ahead of them, or was it still fairly, you know, level pecking and they all had sorts of different strengths when you were with them?
Yeah, and I think at the time, like, I think Shamal George was up training at Melwood and he was, like, really highly rated, and I think he picked up, like, quite a long-term injury, and we knew there was Quivine and Camille Andrabara, who were, like, the same age, being brought in similar time, and it was always, which one's going to get the nod here? And I think people were unsure which one was going to get the nod, and everyone was like a bit like, oh, what's going to happen? And I think he did go up there before Camille, and obviously no disrespect to Camille, and he was a great lad, but I just think maybe Quiv fitted in with the staff and the players a bit better, a bit more sociable. Camille was like quite quiet, kept himself to himself, but added that arrogance about him that some keepers need as well. But I think Quivine just went from strength to strength and seemed to get more and more confident in a group situation, and obviously on the pitch, I think he was always very confident in his ability. So yeah, he just sort of took off a little bit there, and I think he maybe took Shamal's place at that Melwood setup, and Shamal came back down to the academy, and it was like, oh, Quivine's like had the nod there, yeah, so he's done really well, and everyone was made up for him, because I don't think there's anyone in the academy building who'd say, he's a bad egg, or he's got this about him. He's just a really likeable lad, and everyone loved him to bits, yeah.
And was there like a specific moment, Liam, where you thought that, you know, he was going to make it as a keeper at Liverpool? There must be, you know, so many lads you come across in the academy who you wonder about what their future is going to look like. I don't know if you sort of expected what Quivine was going to go on to do or what he's achieved now.
I think I say quite a lot of the time, like, you look at the players and think, oh, they're doing really well in the academy. They're playing really good. And Quivine was almost raved about why the other teammates, like, oh, he's doing really well. Like, what a keeper he is. But then, like I said about Camille, everyone's like, Camille's really good as well. Like, there's them two going for it. And obviously, Liverpool can spend money. So obviously, we brought Alisson in. And it's like, will he ever get that chance at that level sort of thing? I think there's always that doubt. I think I said that about Trent as well. Like, Trent was unbelievable in the youth setup, but I didn't think he'd get in the team as early as he did. I just think sometimes you need that bit of chance and that trust from the manager. And obviously, like, for him to be second choice now, he obviously had that trust in him. It must have been, I didn't sign at Melwood much. And obviously, I haven't seen that behind closed doors, but I presume he's done really well up there. Like, when he's like 17, 18 and gained that trust over a good few years, it's not just like, oh, he's been thrown in as the number two. I think he's earned that trust from the gaffer, yeah.
I think you'd have still been at the club at the time when Quivine made his debut. Can you remember how you felt when you saw him making his debut for the first team and that kind of thing?
I think everyone was just buzzing for him, like all the lads when they made the debut, but especially as a keeper, because you don't see many of them come through and play at like a Liverpool, for example. Like, you normally see them go on loan to maybe the National League, then a League 2 loan, then a League 1, and they try and work the way up like that. And obviously he hasn't been out on a loan, I don't think he's been out on loan, has he? So he's just sort of like crept in, and everyone like thinks, oh, like, he's playing in the League Cup now, he's played all the games, and obviously Alisson's the number one, but I don't think people are like, oh, I'm a bit nervous with him in goals today. I think everyone's a bit quite sure with him there, and yeah, everyone's just made up for him because he's just a top lad, yeah.
So would that be the case then if he plays this League Cup final? Everyone's expecting, you know, that, yeah, I think the manager's come out and said he's going to play him in this League Cup final. And so I'm sure a few of yous are still in conversation. You know, a lot of yous have moved on now. Some still at the club. You know, you're at Accrington, as we found out last time you were on. So, but you'll all still speak to each other, I'm sure. So on the day of the League Cup final, when he's walking out, will it be a few texts to each other and his right lad made up for him?
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, I'm always made up to see the lads play. Like, you know, like Nat Phillips and Rhys Williams got a lot of minutes last year. And obviously, I spent a lot of time with Nat, and I was like delighted to see how well he'd done. And obviously, Quive's the same. Like, I almost felt like I got on quite well with him in the academy. We like had a bit of banter with each other and that. And yeah, I just be made up, and hopefully on the day we get the win, and it'll be a special moment for him as well as the club. But definitely a special moment for him. Yeah.